we are live, ladies and gentlemen. The inaugural show, my show, The Final Point, John Kirkland. Today, there's a lot going on in sports. It is phenomenal, but it's crazy at the same time. So much to get to. NFL, NBA, boxing, a lot that I'm going to cover in probably a short span of time. One of the things that I want to bring to your attention is all the trades. And the biggest trades, the smallest trades. I'm going to talk about the NFL draft, the upcoming NFL draft, March Madness, college football. I mean, the list goes on. So let's start off with the NBA. The NBA is going crazy right now because there's so many teams that are either at the 9th seed, 8th seed, or 10th seed, where they're either one game back, two games back. A lot can change between now and playoff time. And I'm excited because you just never know who's going to get that 8th seed. And right now, the Warriors are number one in the West, but I don't know if my listeners or I don't know if you guys have ever wondered, but is it possible that the Clippers, with the 8th seed, could they give the Golden State Warriors a problem? Could they potentially upset them in the first round? It's not a matter of can you see it, but remember, it's always a possibility. And when you look at the Warriors, some of their losses, it just seems like everyone's not on the same page. You got Draymond Green, you have DeMarcus Cousins getting kicked out of ball games, they're arguing. Steve Kerr says he's tired of Draymond Green shit. Is that the chemistry? Is that the energy you want to bring into the playoffs, especially the first round where you have the Nuggets, you have the Clippers? These are two young, hungry teams. Granted, the Nuggets are the second seed, but you got to wonder, going into the playoffs, whether it's looking at it from a healthy standpoint, whether it's looking at a whatever standpoint you want to look at. Right now, I think the Clippers, or whoever plays the Warriors at all, has everything to gain. And the Warriors have everything to lose because they are the defending champions. And the ironic thing that I want all Warrior fans to understand and to realize one thing. Can you wake up tomorrow realizing that, wait a minute, the number 8 seed just beat the best team in basketball with 5 all-stars? So as Warrior fans, can you explain that and say, you know what, we lost, there's 5 all-stars, and we lost to a young, hungry Clippers team who traded away their all-stars? I don't know. I think that right there would just, I'd be just distraught all season if I was a Warriors fan, but I'm not. Another thing, teams are rebuilding and they're getting better because they would like nothing more than to beat the Warriors, even if they don't win the NBA championship. So, NBA fans, I don't care if you're a Rockets fan, whatever fan you are, remember, somebody's going to beat the Warriors. Somebody. I don't know who it is. Somebody in that top 8 is going to knock these Warriors off. You know why? Because when I watch the Warriors, it seems like they can't get on the same page. It seems like when Curry has a bad game, Durant has a bad game, here comes Klay Thompson. Thompson has the best game of his life. And then on one point, I'm looking at the rest of the whole team. I'm like, well, you got 5 all-stars. You guys should be dominating. I mean, think about it. If Michael Jordan had 5 all-stars with him, the top 5 all-stars, maybe not even the top 5 all-stars, but just 5 all-stars, how good would the Bulls really be? Other than the fact that they had Pippen and Grant. I mean, when you think about it, it's phenomenal because it's like, damn, this team would really just be like thriving, especially in the 90s. Oh, man. I don't know. I'll tell you this, though. There's only a few games, Warrior fans. Maybe a couple of weeks left, give or take. Y'all better figure it out in Golden State. Better figure it out, and they need to figure it out fast. The Los Angeles Lakers, they're my team. And I listen to ESPN quite often, and I listen to Stephen A. Smith and some of his stuff. And on one flip side, Stephen A. is correct. On the other, I disagree with him. But that's case in point. My point is that when the Lakers were winning and they were the number 5th seed, maybe even 6th seed, give or take, everyone said the Lakers have a chance to get to the finals in the West. I totally disagree. The Lakers beat the Warriors by double digits and James left in the third quarter. When I see something like that, I say, wait a minute. There's got to be some talent, some promise to the Lakers organization, to the Lakers team, that makes me think as a potential free agent, maybe I can go there. You can't be the worst basketball team in basketball or the most underachieved basketball team in basketball, and you're able to beat the Warriors in the third quarter by double digits with LeBron James. I don't think so. Now, that's impossible. But I look at things totally different. I look at it from two sides. I look at it from a GM standpoint, and then I look at it from a fan standpoint. So those are the two sides. When I look at the playoff teams, some of them didn't qualify last year. And then you got most of them that were in a rebuilding stage. They're in the playoffs. Now, if you were to ask them, hey, can you guys beat the Warriors with the team you have, or could you make the playoffs with the team that you're rebuilding with? Chances are, if you'd asked me that last year, I would tell you flat out, hell no. But, hey, teams are having great success. Shifting gears, the NFL. NFL right now is the most talked about sport right now because of the trades, because of the moves. And when I heard Odell Beckham get traded to the Browns, which I'll get to in a few minutes, is just mind-boggling right now. We see things from a potential standpoint. We don't see it from a chemistry standpoint, and at some point you got to put it together. But here's my point, ladies and gentlemen. My point is this. Baker Mayfield had an awesome season last year, if you ask me. Had an awesome season last year. Can he do it again? With the pieces in place that the Browns have acquired, can the Browns make the playoffs is the question. You can give me all the players you want, but can they make the playoffs? Can they bring a championship back to Cleveland for the first time and God knows when? I think they're on the right track. And I think they can make the playoffs if they do it right. But we'll see. But I will take my hat off to the GM for the Browns. He did an unbelievable job this year. Unbelievable job. Even last year, they overachieved because I gave them 3 or 4 games. They won more than that. So, unbelievable year. I'm looking forward to seeing them improve and get better and challenge some of these other teams, because that's what makes the NFL, is the teams that are overlooked are the teams that challenge the better teams in the NFL, and that's what makes the NFL what it is today, is the underdogs. San Francisco. I kind of want to touch on San Francisco because I'm just still trying to figure some things out here with San Francisco. Now, let's start from the beginning. Let's break this down. You got a general manager who was a TV analyst who, in my opinion, doesn't know shit about managing football. Now, the way he's played the game is a whole nother conversation. I will never speak or even have the conversation about the way John Lynch played the game, because I grew up watching him, and the man can play that safety position. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. But there's a difference between playing the game and making the necessary moves for your franchise to be in a position to win a Super Bowl. They're a long way from a Super Bowl. There's no doubt about it. However, I'm looking at this. You make a trade for Garoppolo. I'm probably not saying it right. But Garoppolo. Jimmy G. You make a trade for him. He came from the Patriots. He was under the Tom Brady, you know, guidance, if you will. And he comes over to San Francisco. He plays 5 games. And then he's rewarded with $100-some-odd contract extension. Now, my question to 49er fans all over, and just being a fan of the sport, or just being a fan of football anyway, how much sense does that make? And what the hell has he done to deserve that? I don't get it. You reward a quarterback over $100 million who sat on the bench in New England, wasn't even a starter, and you're not going to be a starter for Tom Brady. I give him that. There's just no way, unless Tom Brady gets hurt. Yeah, that's called technicality. But you get over to San Francisco, you play 5 games, and then they give you a big-ass extension. I don't get it. I'm a little lost with that. That doesn't make any sense financially. Quarterbacks in this league are a dime a dozen. That's why quarterbacks get released and they sign long-term contracts. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, I mean, the list goes on. Those guys are going to be around for a long time. But there's never a question about why they deserve the extensions that they get. When you look at Drew Brees, he's the man in New Orleans. No doubt about it. Statistically, he brought a championship to New Orleans. I mean, hey, what can you say? You know, Tom Brady, multiple championships. Aaron Rodgers, a couple of championships. These are the elite quarterbacks in this league. And so when they get extensions, anybody in their right mind is never going to question what and why these guys get the money they get. Make no mistake about it. There's a lot of quarterbacks who get paid money. They don't even deserve it. It's like, you got to be joking. But that's my question. How do you give a quarterback who only played 5 games? I've never seen it in my life. Doesn't make sense to me. Oakland Raiders. Let's dive into them for a moment. Oakland. At one particular time, they won 12 games, maybe 11. You fire your coach who won 11 games to bring John Gruden in for 10 years, $100 million, something crazy like that. Okay. John Gruden trades Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, I think, went for 900 yards, a half a season for Dallas. He just went off. So my question is, was it you had to get rid of Amari Cooper, or was it he didn't fit your scheme? Because this is not the same Amari Cooper that we're looking at that was in Oakland. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Doesn't make sense. You trade a really good receiver. I mean, and if you look at some of his highlights, his footwork is awesome. His foot, the way he digs out a route. I mean, it's. I don't know, man. I'm like, wow. But then you give up the best defensive linebacker since Ray Lewis, since LT, Khalil Mack, and then we're talking about Chicago's defense being an elite defense just for one player, and then they just had already the pieces. So, John Gruden, What the hell are you thinking? And then your defense was horrible last year after you traded them. You could win a game. Doesn't make sense. The moves you've made, sir, doesn't make sense. I hope with the moves you've already made, that set in stone, it makes sense. Now, brilliant trade getting Antonio Brown. Awesome. Awesome trade. Not arguing. Awesome. Because you traded for another Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver last year and got the same thing. Third, maybe a third round, but you got a third and a fifth this year. Awesome. Brilliance. I take my hat off to you. I hope Antonio Brown, I hope you use him the right way, and I hope that he has a great season this year. From a receiver standpoint, I don't want to hear any excuses from Raider fans. Oh, well, he was this. Oh, well, he was that. I don't want to hear it. You got the best, arguably one of the best receivers in the game today. No excuse. Carr, he's still an elite quarterback. He may not be up there with the Breezes, Tom Brady's, but look, he's still an elite quarterback. He still can play this game. Otherwise, he would not be on the team anymore. I believe if John Gruden can give him some pass protection, Carr can be an MVP caliber quarterback. Easy. MVP quarterback caliber. Easy if he does it right. Now, the Raiders added a few more people. I see it. But there's no one that's more aggressive than the Browns. There's no one that wants to win more than them. How hard was it to really acquire Odell Beckham last year and right now? Because the Browns found a way to get it done. So if you look at all the other 31 teams, what was it that they didn't have that the Browns had that was intriguing for them to ship them to the Browns? I don't get it. So every other team didn't have what the Browns had. They were the only team in football that had it. And so here he is. Now he's playing for the Browns. I don't understand. Now he's lined up with Jarvis Landry. Njoku. You got Kareem Hunt. They got another great running back over there, Nick Chubb. I mean, they're young, strong, elusive, and promising football team over there. If I'm a free agent, you have to consider the Browns. Whether you sign with them or not, you have to consider them. That was awesome. Now, when you look at it from a Giants standpoint, now, you got to put your GM hat on when you're talking about this, because the reality of it is that when you've committed so much money to a player, the flexibility from a cap space standpoint is not always there. So either you're going to go over the cap space, you're going to pay a luxury tax, so on and so forth, and who really wants to pay that? Probably no one. Here's the deal. For the Giants, it's a great trade for them because in the long run, they're in the rebuilding stage. Odell Beckham is trying to win now. So at this point, he's got his money. He's trying to win now. He's on a promising team. It's a great situation for him, even though it's Cleveland. Cold-ass Cleveland. Now, for the Giants, they got two first-round draft choices. Hopefully, they make the best of them. But I say, listen, with your top five pick, draft Haskins, the quarterback from Ohio State. This guy can't, his athleticism, accuracy, and him being able to move in and out the pocket. He's not afraid to run, which is something that Eli Manning does not give the Giants offense. The second looks, not the third looks, but the second looks, because once it's not there, it's not like he's going to take off. Eli's going to throw it away. Haskins is going to fight for that first down, which will create another opportunity for the Giants to score, because the more first downs you get, they're able to score. And then you have an awesome running back in Barkley. This kid is amazing. So I think from a rebuilding standpoint, money standpoint, Giants are going to be okay. They're not going to make a lot of big splashes. But I think with what they have and the direction they're going in, at some point, being a free agent, signing with the Giants is going to be intriguing. I want to just take a few moments to jump into Dallas. I'm a big Dallas fan, but I am very critical, and I critique my team. I don't just sit here and critique other teams. I look at my team and what they're not doing. And I don't feel we're going to win the championship, and here's why. I don't feel that we're aggressive enough defensively, because when you're playing in the division that we're playing in, you got to have defense. You got to be able to stop somebody. And I thought we failed to do that. When we played the Colts last year, we couldn't put up a point. But arguably, we had the best defense or one of the top five defenses. I don't even want to hear that. The bottom line is, if we're going to win, we have to stop somebody. We got to be able to knock off the Green Bays. We got to be able to knock off the Eagles. And Green Bay's not even in our division, but I'm just saying overall, we have to be able to knock these teams off. We can't let the Giants come in on a Monday night, mediocre, subpar team, upset us by a damn field goal. That shit is intolerable. And it makes my skin crawl. Jerry Jones is the owner. But Jerry Jones needs to have a GM who knows football. There's no way in the world that we're in a position where we have decent players, but we're only getting decent wins. We're much better than what our record says. And at the end of the day, Jerry Jones needs to realize, look, you know what? I got to pull all my chips in. It's time to win now. Do what you have to do. But Jerry Jones is not going to do that. And I just wanted to be clear. Cowboy fans, fans of all 32 teams, we're never going to win unless you invest into the team that you've built and you go all in. That's how you win a championship. When you look at the Rams, they've only been in LA for what, maybe 2 years, maybe a year or so? Guess what? They were all in, and they're still all in. That's why they went to the Super Bowl. Now, you could tell me about the last play call with the Saints and all of that, and that's how they end up losing. It doesn't matter. The Rams took care of business. They did something right to get where they got to be. And that's just the reality of it for the Saints fans. They did something for four quarters. If you take away that play, the Rams still win. So you can't argue with this. It makes no sense. When you look at DeSean Jackson going back to Philly, I would say that it's an upgrade maybe for the special teams slot receiver, but I don't think he's going to make a difference to the point where they say, oh man, you know, we're in a position to win a championship. I don't think so. Not at all. So hopefully teams are smarter about the way that they spend their money. And then the biggest thing, Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets. Hey man, I don't blame you. You sat out all last year. You didn't want to play for Pittsburgh for $14 million. Man, get your money. Hey, I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't mad at $35 million guarantee. I ain't mad at nobody. So you get $35 million whether you play or not. You can get turf toe and be done for the year. Guess what? I got $35 million. Awesome. Awesome. Brilliant. So I want to shift gears, and I want to talk more about college football. And a friend of mine likes Clemson. And Clemson, to me, I would say this year, they won fair and square. I'm not going to say they were lucky. But here's the intriguing question that I have when you're talking about college football. Alabama, to me, from top to bottom, is the most talented football team in football right now, top to bottom. No doubt about it. How do you look up on the scoreboard and say, look, you know what? We just lost the championship to Clemson. And what I saw from Clemson was I saw their pass rush, running the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, they did everything they had to do to win, and they deserved to win. I saw nothing from the Alabama defense. Nothing. At all. It was horrible. Alabama, this season is a redemption year for them. Because there's no way I worked so hard all year. Get to the Final Four. You get to the title. and you lose it. There's just no way I can live with that. No way. I also want to talk about USC. USC is I'm a diehard USC. And the question I have to all the USC fans is, and this is what puzzles me right now. If you go 5-7 overall, but you still keep your head coach, how does that hinder your decision in the back of your mind saying, you know what, I'm going to fire Clay Helton? I don't get it. I'm a little lost with that. Because 5-7 is underachievement when you get some of the top players. And then you have players decommit. So if I got top players decommitting, there's something wrong, either with my program or either with my coaching staff. So again, if I'm USC, I'm going to fire Clay Helton. He has one more year. Come on, man. We can't have another 5-7 season. Can't happen. Shifting gears. Boxing. Some are boxing fans. Some are not. Some are, when you look at it from an opinion standpoint, and then some don't know what they're talking about. First of all, I'm going to talk about the fight that happened last week with Sean Porter. You got to be joking. That man lost that fight. We should have a new champion. And you know what? We don't. He got lucky. But the question that I have to fight fans is this. Is Sean Porter that lucky? And if he fought Keith Thurman, would he be that lucky again? Or if he fought Danny Garcia, would he be that lucky? Because that's a good match. If he fought Terrence Crawford, would he be that lucky? I don't understand. How do you ask and say, and you notice, if you notice the interviews when he's talking, when he gets a decisive win, he's ready to call out other people. But when he knows he didn't win that fight, but he gets the decision, guess what? Well, you know, me and my team, we got to get back. You know, me and my team got to sit down and figure out what's next. See, people that don't get decisive wins, that's what they say. Because they don't want to call out anybody that could potentially beat them the next go around. So it's really all about marketing and strategy when you have a household name, which I don't think Porter has at this particular time. Danny Garcia. This fight has to be a fight that is intriguing to the welterweight division, because you got to realize that this guy lost to Keith Thurman because he didn't perform to the level that we all know he can. And so he lost. This right here has to be a fight of saying, look, I still exist. I'm still in the welterweight division. I'm still one of the best, and I'm coming back for that title. Keith Thurman should not be unifying shit. And that's just the way that I feel about it. Because I know I can give you a list of the top welterweights that I know Keith Thurman cannot beat. Period. And you can agree with me, disagree with me, whatever. But every fight since I've watched Keith Thurman, he's won by decision. He can't get a knockout. He's not going to get a knockout. Deontay Wilder. I'm not taking anything away from Tyson Fury. I don't know God from glory. I don't know how he got up. Because this shit was over with. And he got up and fought and went all 12 rounds. So shout out to Tyson Fury. That's a tough fighter. And wow, I've yet to see a fighter get up from what Deontay's knockouts and continue with the rest of the fight. That's a hell of a guy. But Anthony Joshua has came out, and I've heard his interviews. I've heard all his shit. And then you got Eddie Hearn, his promoter. Eddie Hearn is full of shit, in my opinion. He's just like Bob Arum. They're going to protect their cash cow. Because once they lose, that's it. It's a wrap. They can't ask for 50-50. They can't ask for 60-70. They can't. And fight fans, I just want to bring this one point, is that I don't want Deontay Wilder to go to England or wherever it is that he's from, Joshua's from, because he's going to lose on the scorecards. He's going to lose on the scorecards. He could be dominating the fight. There's no way. If you were to take Tyson Fury and trade him for Anthony Joshua, and I'm looking at it from a scorecard standpoint, let's just say they already fought and judges are judging. The fight between Fury, despite the fact that he got the late knockdown, if that was Joshua, Wilder would have lost the fight. Especially if he would have went back to England. So I think from a business standpoint, it makes sense for Joshua to fight Wilder in England. You know why? Because that's their best shot at beating him. He's not fighting at the Barclays Center. I don't think so. Joshua's a great fighter. That dude is big. He's strong. He's tough. He's elusive. That guy can fight. But that's what makes boxing. And we need to see the best pound for pound in the world fight, because that's what the people want to see. I want to see it. We all want to see it. So I just wish that they would quit bullshitting and let's get the fight started. Let's get it on. Deontay Wilder is not scared. Deontay Wilder has been calling this dude out. He offered him $50 million to fight him. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I don't know. Gervonta Davis, I just want to say, listen, Tevin Farmer don't want none of Gervonta Davis. I'm just letting you guys know that right now. Tevin Farmer's full of shit. Period. There's no way he's beating Gervonta Davis. Ain't no way in the world. I don't care what nobody's talking about. If you're talking about fighting Lomachenko, two things have to happen. You got to know that you're the best, right? And you got to be able to be dominant in your division to even make that fight happen. Because Lomachenko, that's a bad dude. So Gervonta Davis is worthy of a fight with Lomachenko. No one's talking about Tevin Farmer. And who is that anyway? I still don't know who the hell he is. Some kid out of Philadelphia. Okay, well, we'll find out. When you fight Gervonta Davis, we'll figure it out from there. But Gervonta Davis is still one of the baddest. I also want to talk about Devin Haney. Devin Haney, people need to watch out. Because that boy is just, I mean, the sky's the limit right now. There's so many things I see from this standpoint. And he's still young. He's still a young fighter. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows where this kid could go? I mean, it's just unprecedented how he can come in there and I mean, he reminds me of a young Mayweather. You know, he fights guys that are a little bit older than him, but he gets it done. Stops them. Shakur Stevenson, I've been checking him out. Homeboy can fight also. So there's still some great fighters out there. I just wish that they made the fights that people wanted to see. And Keith Thurman don't want none of Pacquiao. I'm tired of hearing that shit too. Keith Thurman don't want none. Man, keep your belt, get healthy, fight somebody real, because we all wish for things we really don't want. Anyway, that's my time for today. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. See you next time. See you next week. Episode 2.